Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, other things, stuff, at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, Jack!
Yay!
So this is weird. We're actually live in studio.
Uh-oh.
yeah, I know, right? It's been a minute.
Month and a half since we've been live.
Has it been a month and a half?
Somewhere around there.
Have we been that busy?
Well, somewhat.
Shh! Don't tell them. They might get the idea we don't actually work. Hey, Jack, guess what?
What's that, John?
This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors, or at least it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 Night Vision Goggle to the IR Patrol Thermal Monocular and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that likes to wander off and hunt Pokemon. We're bums. TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark. TNVC, now with financing.
You can't do that to me.
Yeah, I can. It's inappropriate. Own or finance the night. Oh, come on. That was funny.
It's horrible, man.
That is horrible. Speaking of TNVC, we have a special guest tonight.
Who's that, John? I actually already know. But.
Yeah, I already know, too. I'll just get him on the line. Joining us, Don Edwards. Don, how's it going, man?
Hey, man. It's great. It's going pretty good.
That's good. I am glad to have you on the show, finally. For those that don't know, who are you, what do you do, what have you done, and then we'll hop right into tonight's show, which I just now remembered. We never did actually decide exactly what we were going to talk about, so this should be fun.
Yeah, there was just something about we'll do it live or something like that.
Something like that, you know.
Something like that. Well, I'm the director of law enforcement military sales for TNVC.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Army. I was an Army Ranger. I was in the Special Forces. I've been a contractor overseas. I've been teaching law enforcement and other people how to defend themselves and fight against bad guys off and on, all those things, since about 1988.
Man, I don't even want to say how old I was in 1988.
Yeah, you told me. I forgot. It was really young.
Yeah, you are old, Don. I mean, you're looking good for an ancient man.
I was three.
Jack's younger than I am. So, but anyway.
But when Jack was three, he was almost as large as I am now.
So. Well, that's true. That's true. And what's scary is we had a Don and I had a conversation about you, Jack, with another gentleman that was at the event that we were just at. And it's funny how the description of you like gets bigger and bigger when you're not there. It's like we saw him pick a car up once and throw it out of the way because it almost stubbed his toe or something like that.
Poor Prius.
Yeah, you know. So for the people who actually want to learn stuff tonight, we're going to talk about night vision. We might talk about some other stuff. And, you know, full disclosure, Don works for a company that was one of my sponsors, but... this isn't going to be a big, long commercial for TNVC. We're just going to talk about general night vision stuff and things like that. I prefer TNVC for night vision shopping for multiple reasons. But if for whatever reason you want to shop somewhere else, we're not telling you not to do that. But we like TNVC, and we're just going to say good stuff about night vision in general. It's, once again, not a big, long commercial. So anyway, hopping right in. Don, for you, as someone that gets to explain night vision to a lot of different people, what is night vision in general, and what are the biggest misconceptions people have about it?
Well, I mean, the short and sweet of it is it helps you to see in the dark. You know, I mean, that's what it does. I think some of the most misconceptions people have is Hollywood kind of gives people a little bit of a false idea of how well they can see.
Okay.
They don't always understand how the atmospheric conditions, the lighting conditions, you know, everything around you kind of affects that. And once they begin to understand how it works and how that is affected, they have a little bit more realistic expectation. I mean, it still is kind of magic, but it's not always, you know, you don't see as well as you do, like, down in Jodie Foster's basement
right.
on TV or in the movies.
Right.
But you can if the conditions are correct or in your favor.
That was really good night vision for, like, the early 1990s, I thought.
Yeah, well, Hollywood can do a lot of good stuff with night vision, I guess.
Yeah. So I guess as far as the different types of, you know, night vision or night observation devices or whatever you want to call it, we've got, what, thermal, and then we've got actual traditional night vision, which is...
Yeah, traditional night vision, which is called, you know, image intensification or I squared, if you will. That's what most people think of is the green screen.
Okay. Just like a ballpark, can it be like pitch black out and you've got, you know, standard night vision and you're just going to be able to see? Or when you talk about like lighting conditions, how much light does there need to be or does it depend?
Well, it depends. I mean, if it's pitch black to you, it's probably still light enough for the night vision goggles to do just fine.
Okay.
What they do is they amplify any and all available light. The closer the light that is out there is to the infrared spectrum, the better.
All right.
You know, so that's where we call that, you know, the IR stuff, and your IR lasers are invisible to the human eye, but they can be seen, you know, well through the night vision goggles. So some things are out there creating light that you can't see or you can barely see, but the night vision goggle will amplify that amount of light, and that's what gives you the image.
Right. Well, I remember when we were down in Florida, we got to do an event down with you guys at the beginning or end of February, and like somebody pulled their phone out, and it's like, what's that? And it's like, oh, apparently there's an IR, you know, sensor.
Yeah, somebody's phone was blinking in their pocket, and it was like an IR light that was like a low battery light, or I don't know what it was, but... you can see it. Little things like the your TV remote.
Mm-hmm.
That's an IR signal between the remote and the TV.
Right.
It looks like a small little IR flashlight if you know, turn it on while you're wearing your nod.
Okay. So we got a couple minutes left in this segment, but so the other one would be thermal. And what is
thermal.
That and how does that work? I mean, is that like predator vision like you see in the movies or?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, but not really. It picks up body heat, basically. So
right.
Everything out there is throwing off some sort of heat. So the thermal sees that, and then it creates an image or a picture by painting that picture with the different heat signatures that are out there.
Right.
So you can see the outline of a tree because a tree is a different color than the night sky that's behind it or in front of it. You know, you can see a person, you can see an animal or the dog or cat or a hog if you can find one.
If you nice, Don. We love you, Sam. So,
I hope he's listening.
Is he listening? Oh man, we should make fun of him all show. Surprised he could find the radio. So which one's better? I mean, we got about 50 seconds left. So
about 50 seconds. They're both awesome. They actually complement each other. The biggest recommendation we give is if you can afford it, you want to have both.
Right.
Standard night vision is probably the jack of all trades, if you will. It's the most commonly used. But thermal has an awesome niche. So
right.
Hard to say which is better. It depends on your application.
Well, and that's I was going to say, and that's something maybe we could talk about in the next next segments. And we have to go to break here in shortly. But... I guess right now we're talking with Don Edwards from TNVC. When we get back, we'll go into maybe what people can and do use night vision for, answer some other misconceptions.
Sure.
Stuff like that. Anyway, right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Sig Sauer, now with more options. We're not all the same, and our carry gun shouldn't have to be either. Sig Sauer gives you choices, and with more models than the Bible's got Psalms, it's never been easier to find a Sig Sauer that fits your needs. From the extremely versatile striker-fired P320 with modular grip frame, to the Legion Series P226, the single-stack P225A1, or the entry-level SP2022, Sig Sauer makes a model that's right for you. Just don't ask for a Callahan full-bore auto-lock. They don't make that. Yep. Sig Sauer, when it counts. And tonight we are joined by Don Edwards from TNVC. Don, how's it going?
Good, good.
So before the break, we were talking about the difference between, you know, traditional night vision and thermal. And I asked you which one was better, and you copped out and said it depends.
Yeah, I kind of sidestepped, didn't I?
Yeah, it was a good sidestep. Man, I was going to make a joke, and then it's like, nope, not going to do it. Would not be prudent at this time. Sorry, I'll tell you after the show. So anyway, as far as, I guess, where we should go with this is, what do people use night vision for? I mean, I know a lot of folks, and before, you know, I got to really play around with it and do things with it, just assume, oh, the military uses that, and yeah, okay, that makes sense for them, and those are the only people that use it. Has that been your experience?
No. I mean, we sell a lot of night vision to just regular people, regular guys who, for various reasons. One of the first things I always ask somebody when they call up and I end up talking to them on the phone and they're not sure what they want, they know they want something, is, you know, what do you want to use it for? And a lot of guys want to maybe use it for some night hunting or something like that. And in a lot of states, it's legal to hunt at night, different animals like feral hogs or, you know, coyotes or something like that.
Right.
So then I, you know, when they tell me that, then I try to find out, okay, well, what part of the country are you in? What type of terrain and stuff like that? Because different things, for example, I'm in North Florida. We tend to have to patrol around a lot because it's pretty thickly wooded out here. So we usually stick to wearing some sort of night vision goggle on a light bump helmet and using a laser on a rifle. But we'll also use a thermal as a handheld so we can scan.
Right.
You know, we'll stop, scan, see if we see any heat signatures of what we're looking for, and then we keep maneuvering or going from place to place where we think we might find something. So that's kind of how they work really well together. You know, some of the guys out in the western states where, you know, maybe they roll into an area and they just set up and continue to scan the countryside, they like, a lot of those guys really like thermal because they can stay stationary and maybe have it mounted on a rifle like a scope, a thermal scope, and just scan the area and pick up the heat signatures as they move through.
Okay. And so that's like a hunting application. Mm-hmm. As far as, like, you know, one of the things that I did not think of, and actually Melody brought it up when we were talking about it because she's an EMT, was, you know, there's been accidents that she's worked before where someone's been ejected from a car and it's at night, you know, using a thermal to look for a heat signature.
Oh yeah. Either like that, or, and we've talked about that or search and rescue, mm-hmm. you know, or child lost in the woods, or even a manhunt for law enforcement type of environment or option. I've had lots of law enforcement people purchase thermal because they realize that, you know, really, if somebody's in the shadows and they just sit still, you're probably going to miss them with your regular night vision.
Right.
But the thermal's going to pick up that heat signature.
When that's
a child, you know, lost in the woods, or exactly somebody that needs to be found, whether they're, you know, trying to be found or not.
Right.
Thermal can really be tip the advantage.
Okay. So as far as, are there disadvantages to one over the other when you're, you know, I guess trying to use them for other things? I haven't gotten to wear any, like, helmet-mounted thermals before, but you had mentioned that, like, trying to navigate with those is not maybe the easiest.
It's hard to – you really, really lose depth perception if you're trying to walk around and use that as your navigation tool.
Okay.
But one of the things that drawbacks to thermals, you can't see through glass.
Huh.
You know, a pane of glass will block the heat signature, so you won't see anything. You'll just see a reflection off of it. But, you know, a night vision goggles should see into there. You know, depending on the light, if you have lights reflecting, you know, it could still give you trouble.
Right.
So window, what about like walls and stuff? Will that actually stop you from seeing through a thermal?
Yeah.
You mean Charlie Sheen lied to
Navy SEALs lied to me. I am legitimately upset right now.
Oh. Yeah, we can't see through brick walls. Yeah. You know, if somebody's leaning up against something very thin and they've been there for a while, there may be a warm spot. But,
right.
You know, yeah, you can't just see through houses and stuff like that, you know.
Oh, Hollywood. I mean,
you can tell if there's something,
web
you know,
of lies.
If one building is warmer than another, maybe there's, you know,
a bunch
lots of lights or
right.
something going on, you know, in there. They have lots of plants. Maybe they have a lot of house plants or something.
Oh, yeah. A grow operation? No. No, they would never use thermal to look for those.
I don't know.
Why do you look nervous, Jack?
I gotta go.
Oh, okay. Somebody left the light on at Jack's house. Wait. Oh, I probably shouldn't make that joke on air because, see, this is what happens when we don't record a show and now we do them live. And like, my brain to mouth filter is not running nearly as quickly as it used to. I got in the habit of going, well, if I say something really terrible, it's recorded and we can go back and just do that section over again. So yeah, anyway, backing up. So Navy SEALs lied to us. You can't see through walls or things like that with it. As far as navigation goes, and that was something else too that I thought was interesting. I was talking with people that, you know, were in Katrina after that happened and the power was out for a long time. I got to just participate in the evacuation of Florida on accident because I drove down there and went out. Nothing, you know, at least where I was at, things worked out pretty okay and there was nothing too terrible. But it wasn't very hard for me to see where things could get really bad and then maybe night vision would be useful for other things like, you know, leaving an area that no longer has mm-hmm. utilities. What do you think about that?
I think night vision would be great for that. And I've talked to people who have had that scenario, if you will, in mind. You know, just a PBS-14 is pretty small. You don't have to wear it on your head.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a pocket-sized piece of gear. You've got one. And, you know, so you could put that in a bag or a pouch or, you know, a jacket pocket, you know, or dummy corded with a lanyard around your neck and just kind of use it to scan and see if there's anything dangerous up ahead or, you know, just kind of take a look before you get into an area that you might have wanted to decide to go around had you known something was going on up there.
Well, and that's – so the other thing, too, I know a lot of people are like, well, I've just got a big, bright flashlight. I mean, and don't get me wrong. If I have to pick, you know, and no offense to anybody, if I have to pick between having a handheld flashlight in my pocket or night vision – I'm probably going to use the handheld flashlight a little more often. That having been said, being able to be somewhere and be the one that decides whether or not you're giving off a signature is really kind of nice. And that's where night vision comes in pretty handy, doesn't it?
I would say it's very handy for that. You know, and the other thing is, you know, if you're alone and you're trying to just get home or, you know, get your family to safety and you don't want, you know, to be accosted by somebody. You just want to be left alone. You can spot trouble without being seen. You know, a Surefire Fury flashlight's great, but, you know, when you start shining that beam around, everybody's going to see it and know you're there.
Yeah. And that's something, you know, I live out in the middle of nowhere, so I've done quite a bit of walking around my property in the dark, either doing varmint control or just, you know, walking around my property. Because I can, and it's fun, but it's interesting too, because occasionally the neighbors will, you know, be, and I'm real good friends with all of my neighbors. So like I'll send them a text afterwards or I'll play the, oh, hey, Bob. And they're like, oh, you know, where'd you come from sort of deal. But like, it's really interesting how, almost invisible you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which kind of funny to me. Jack lives in the city. He goes and trail hikes at night sometimes and runs across people that never know you're there, do they?
Yeah, I like there's a herd of deer that I kind of follow around one park, and that's fun because you can get like within 20 feet of deer, and it's fun. But I found a bunch of kids like smoking like cigarettes and hanging out at night, and I'm just watching them like, you got no idea.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of actually creepy, Jack. Why are you watching kids for?
Because they're in my park.
Oh, okay. Oh, when you say kids,
keeping
like,
an eye on things.
Like, yeah. Oh, so you're like, get out of my park. The park is mine.
The moment you go to the park wearing night vision, you've become Batman.
Actually, you would be Tommy Lee Jones. And if you get the reference, or anyone out there gets the reference. But hey, we've got to go to break. And if you can figure out what movie I'm talking about during the break, Jack, I'll give you a dollar extra on your paycheck next time. Anyway, we're talking with Don Edward from TNVC. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scattergun since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. Speaking of Wilson Combat, we've got a really cool project we're working on with them that I cannot wait to tell you about. But alas, today is not the day. And
how do I not know about this?
I don't know. I was in Florida for a week.
Why do you never tell me anything? Nobody tells me nothing.
Do you need to know?
No, not really.
Well, then. Anyway, we're talking with Don Edwards. Don, are you still there?
I'm still here.
I'm surprised, too, but I appreciate it.
Well, you know.
Jack, did you figure out which what movie?
It is called The Park Is Mine, and it's a 1985 made-for-TV movie.
It's not made-for-TV. There's no way.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at IMDb right now.
Helen Shaver was naked in it. I remember because I was very young the first time I saw it.
It's called Showtime.
Is that what it was?
Uh-huh.
Was it HBO?
No, it was a Showtime movie.
Huh. Are you sure?
I literally have it in front of me right now.
Anyway, it's a good movie. Go check it out. It's actually a really horrible movie, but it's got Yaphet Kotto in it. I mean, there you go. Oh, God. Going back to the point of the show. Don, do you have anything here that you would like to add to the conversation about Tommy Lee Jones? Or not really.
No, I vaguely remember that movie, and I'm sure his whatever night vision he has is pretty old.
I don't think he had night vision in it. So that's actually why he lost that right there.
Okay, well that's why. See, he didn't own the night and all that whatever.
He didn't even finance the night, which you know, there's no excuse now.
Which he could have. I'm sure Tommy Lee Jones doesn't need the financing program.
Well,
if he wants night vision, I'm sure he can.
I think back then he might have, because you know.
Tommy Lee, if you're listening, feel free to call TNVC.
Right. So as far as, like, you know, I'm not going to go out. I've had a lot of people ask me, like, oh, should I go out and buy night vision? I know you're playing with it or not. Playing with it a lot right now, and, you know, I've always kind of been on the fence. You know, do you need to go out and buy night vision before you go buy some other things? I don't know. I'm not you. I think it really depends on where you live and what you find important. I heard Chip, who is one of your coworkers, say something really interesting though, and I kind of agree with it. If you own more than one $2,000 plus AR-15, you can only really use one of those at a time, and night vision gives you a capability that no amount of other rifles will give you, or extra rifles will give you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and it's dark half the time, so if you don't have any night vision, you're missing out on half of the action.
Well, and there you go. I mean, half the fun. Mm-hmm. Double your pleasure. Double
half wait, the fun.
That's bubblegum.
Something like that.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
As far as law enforcement and things like that, I know a lot of people were saying the police are too militarized or things like that. And that's a completely separate show that I should probably have with, like, Chuck Haggard would be a real good guy to have a conversation with that about. But do you think that there's a place in American law enforcement for night vision? And if so, what do you see it as?
Oh, I mean, I definitely do. And, you know, it is military equipment, but, you know, there's so much crossover back and forth. And I see night vision as an officer safety tool for those guys.
Okay.
If you think about it like this, if you can see in the dark, you can move with stealth. You can move around undetected. So if you're looking for a bad guy that, you believe is potentially armed and dangerous, you get to choose, or more likely than not, get to choose the time and place of the encounter with this guy.
Right.
Therefore, avoiding big, giant gunfights and bullets flying everywhere. The ability for you to maneuver and maintain that tactical advantage is not only just an officer safety thing, but it's also a public safety thing, because it gives them a tool that gives them the capability of ending things with less incident.
Well, it seems like, too, it would even be a safety thing for the suspect in question, because if the...
Exactly.
If the officers are not caught off guard, they may be able to deploy a less lethal one. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been able to, or any number of things where they're able to de-escalate the situation.
Certainly. Or just once it becomes, apparently obvious that they own the situation, the guy would hopefully, decide not to fight.
Right.
I've known about night vision usage in law enforcement for a while with aerial teams, when they're using helicopters and everything and they don't want to hit that trillion power spotlight. But yeah, it's already out there. It's just integrating it and making it make sense for every person.
Learning how to use it to your advantage, when I mean advantage, I mean it, all the different ways that it makes sense.
So speaking of learning how to use it and things like that, and this is kind of a softball question, and anyone that listens to the show should, probably know where I'm going with this. But let's say you get night vision. Can you just start using it right away, or is it beneficial to maybe go get some training with it?
It's always beneficial to get some training. You can just put the battery in it and watch a few YouTube videos and learn how to focus it and what to do and what not to do.
Right.
There's a lot of information out there, but some training is always good. The same with a gun.
Right.
You can buy a brand new pistol, put the rounds in the magazine and load it and use it without any training. But most of us would recommend, that you learn how to use it, get the most out of it.
Perfect. As far as, is there any ancillary things that you need to think about when you're purchasing night vision?
Yeah, there are. You can get a basic monocular, the PBS-14. It's the most ubiquitous of all of them out there, the most common standard infantry issue. But the way, even the soldiers will wear it is mounted on a helmet.
Right.
The average person doesn't necessarily need a ballistic helmet or, Mitch helmet or, a real expensive one. There are pretty reasonably priced bump helmets that can be used to mount that. And it just makes the experience a lot better. That and a mount to wear it on your head. As you guys know, it just makes the experience better. Now you can buy a cheapo skateboard helmet from Walmart, but you get what you pay for. Your experience isn't going to be as good. So a little bit better helmet will make it a little bit more pleasant. And then if you're going to shoot, you really need some sort of laser aiming device. There are a dozen different types that are available now to regular people. The class one lasers are pretty common now.
Well, and that's actually really good. What's the difference between like a civilian legal and the restricted types of lasers? What are they talking about there?
Well, they're talking about the power of the laser. So, the FDA actually regulates that. The government regulates, how powerful the laser that civilian, is allowed for civilian ownership. And it has to be below 1 milliwatt. So typically they're 0.7 milliwatts and they're considered eye safe. Now, do I recommend shining each other's eyes? No, not so much. But so it is a lower powered, infrared laser.
Right.
If guys are listening out there that have experience with like the PEC 15 that they might have been issued in the military, it's the same as it is when it's on the low settings. So when it's in training mode, that's considered eye safe.
Okay. As far as, I mean, what's, What's the actual difference for use? I mean, is it just the range that the laser will go, or?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the range that you'll get out of it.
So for, do you happen to know off the top of your head what usable range is between one and the other? And if not, I'm sorry for throwing you a technical question.
Yeah, just throw me under the bus.
Yeah, right?
You'll get, and again, it goes back to those
lighting conditions.
Lighting
like
conditions
that.
And all that. But, you know, a class one laser, you could shoot targets or, you know, engage something at 150 to 200 yards if, you know, if it's 200 on a good night, you know, 150 pretty easily, it throws that beam out there.
So, and that's a civilian legal one, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, beyond what you would be able to positively identify a threat in most circumstances as a civilian?
More likely than not, yes.
Okay. And I'm not saying that, you know, obviously if you're out patrolling, you know, if you live in the south, west, you know, and you're on the border and all of a sudden you're doing like animal control or something like that with your night vision on and you start taking rounds from 200 yards away, then okay, I guess. But
yeah.
Otherwise, probably, so not as big of a deal as people make, you know, it's like, oh, I wish I could get the restricted version or something like that. Not necessarily useful for most people.
It may be useful, but not necessarily necessary.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious because that's another question that a lot of people ask. And it's like, well, should I get the civilian model one or try and find one of the other ones? And it's like, oh, I've been using civilian stuff just fine. Let's see. We've got about 45 seconds left in this segment, and real quick, Don, what do you think? Who's mm-hmm. the better Black Sabbath singer, Ozzy or Dio?
Mm.
There's only one answer.
Probably just because I grew up with Ozzy. I'll say Ozzy.
That is the only answer. Like, I'm ashamed that's even a question.
Dio's way better than Ozzy. And hey, look,
I'm glad it's going to break.
Yeah, right? Ooh. Civil War!
Whoa!
We're talking with Don Edwards from TNVC, and I swear to God we'll actually say something meaningful when we get back. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio! Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better! This segment brought to you by Surefire! Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell, Aziz Light, ever again. Doesn't matter if you are shining a light at a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now, as a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners, you can enter the discount code ALLTHELUMENS at the Surefire.com web store for 30% off everything there except for suppressors and batteries. That is ALLTHELUMENS, all the lumens, at Surefire.com. So, anyway, Jack and I are fighting, and we're talking with Don Edwards from TNVC. Don, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Slightly disappointed in my life choices.
I think I'm going to take advantage of that. All the lumens code.
It's, you know, it's pretty legit. So, and I stand by my statement that Dio was a better Sabbath.
Standing by the fact that you're wrong doesn't change the fact that you're wrong.
You can be wrong.
I'm trying to get in touch with Ozzy right now.
Really? You're
I have a connection.
Is he an alcohol salesman? Ooh.
I'll tell you about it off air.
Okay, fine. So anyway, we're talking about night vision and other things. Apparently heavy metal singers. So like many things, training with your equipment is probably a good idea.
Probably.
You know, we talked about
generally,
you know, it's probably a thing. Man, it's so hard for me not. So for those listening, Don and I are pretty good friends, and we were just down at a training event that Daniel Defense put on for some media people, and we ended up rooming in.
We ended up roommates.
Yeah. which was funny because each day after the event gets done, it's like 9 o'clock. It's like, oh, we'll get to bed early since we have to get up early. And then like 4 hours of arguments and conversation later, it's like, oh, it's 1 a.m. and we're still awake. Mm-hmm.
15 minutes into gun talk and chill, and he gives you that look.
Wow, Jack. It wasn't that kind of roommate. Oh, it's not.
Yeah,
like...
we had our own rooms.
Yeah, we had our own rooms. It wasn't like you and Adam at SHOT Show. Ooh. Anyway, remember, if we're live on air, so Jack's just like, I'm going to turn my mic off. Let me ask you this, Don. So you also have a training company that's Greenline Tactical, and I'd like to have you back on and talk about, like, general self-defense things and training things. Whenever anyone says that, I want to be like, when? It's like an immediate response. What do you think the importance is, or let's talk about our industry as a whole. What do you think, how important is it to be able to justify or at least give your reason why you're espousing a certain technique and then have a civil conversation defending that technique? How important is that, do you think?
I think it's very important. I mean, we both teach people, you know, self-defense related firearms training. So,
yeah.
Jack, John and I had this conversation for about 3 hours one night this week. If somebody's paying you money, they deserve for you to tell them what you think is the right way to do things, in your opinion. They're there to learn from you, and they're not just there to learn a whole bunch of things that they could just watch a YouTube video about.
Right.
But if you're teaching somebody to do something, again, we're not teaching people how to play chess here. You know, this is important stuff. So you owe them to at least be able to explain to them why you believe that this is a good way to do it, or the why you recommend that.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think. If you can't explain that to somebody, and if it's just like, well, I learned this from, you know, this place, or, you know, I was some special operator for 30 years, you know, do it the way I do it. You know, that's not really, you know, I don't think that's right.
Do you think that it breaks down? I mean, and most of the really like nationally known guys, very few of the nationally known guys that I'm aware of will just pass information along without being able to, one, tell you where they got it, and two, tell you why they're teaching it. But do you think it's just a matter of being able to understand the techniques at a, you know, at a fundamental level, or is there more to it than that?
I think that's part of it, but I think it's also, and there are plenty of people teaching something that they were taught by someone else. I mean, you don't have to have, you know, seen the elephant or whatever, you know, your term for that is, to have a legitimate, you know, technique or skill that you're trying to, you know, teach somebody. But you should understand what you're teaching enough to be able to explain it. But you should also be able to explain to them why you believe this is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be because this is the only one I've been taught.
Well,
you should know enough about what you're teaching to have made some decisions along the way as far as why you believe that this is the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense. As far as
whether you're right or wrong, at least you've put the homework in and you've done the work to decide.
Well, and that's like another question, though, is, I mean, right or wrong is a very black and white look at that question. And it doesn't seem like that's always the case. You know, one of the things we were talking about was like, you know, very minutia of things, but like a specific technique to get something done. And, you know, you explained why you did it your way. And then I explained why I teach it the other way. And like the reasoning I gave was something you hadn't personally seen before, which is what colored your experience and led you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, we can't really, none of us can escape what we've seen or what we've done. You know, I mean, not all of us have done everything in the world, but the more of it you've seen and been able to observe or study, you know, you've studied things from a little bit, a considerable different perspective than I have over the years. You know, so I have my lens that I look at the world through.
Right.
And you have yours, and there's tons of overlap, but there are certain details that you're looking for in your context.
Yeah. And then let's get to the other thing too. And then we'll talk, cause we only got a couple minutes left. I want, people to know where they can find you at in either capacity. But as far as the civil discourse part of that, do you think that that is overlooked or maybe something that our industry doesn't do enough of?
You're talking about explaining?
Well, as far as, like, if we find someone we disagree with, actually having a conversation with them. So, like, Bob Owens from Bearing Arms was also one of our roommates and was, like, listening to this conversation. He said to me the next day, he's like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen, was just, like, watching both of us go back and forth for 3 hours. You know what I mean?
He doesn't get out much.
And he really doesn't. But as far as, like, do you think that enough of that takes place, just people talking about why they do things and then defending it to other people, like in a polite way?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't even like to think of it as us defending it. I just think we were explaining it, maybe making our point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it, a lot of it that happens on the internet can turn
ugly.
That's the word I'm looking for, caustic, yeah, ugly, you know, and because you're not sitting, you know,
face to face,
just hanging out,
yeah.
You know, so people take things the wrong way. People get their feelings hurt, you know, and stuff like that. When really, and I think you and I talked about this, you know, there's the parts that people really disagree on are probably, you know, the 5 to 10% on the left edge and the right edge of the discussion anyways,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And for some reason, you know, I guess we just never really want to, you know, talk about all the stuff we agree on because we all agree on it, and that's no fun.
I guess. It certainly doesn't entertain people as much as you...
No, I guess not.
As people fighting online does. So if people... We got about a minute left, maybe. If people want to, you know, train with you, or if they want to ask you about product or whatever, where can they find you at?
Well, I mean, Night Vision, TNVC is all over the Facebook, all over the Instagram, TNVC, Tactical Night Vision Company. Me personally, for other non-Night Vision related type of stuff, Don Edwards on Facebook, Greenline Tactical on Facebook, or greenlinetactical.com. Oh, and Instagram.
Hey, there you go. Don, thanks so much, man, for taking time out of your Sunday and coming and talking with us. I really appreciate it, man. So,
hey, thanks for having me on. Bye, Jack.
Bye, Don.
All right. Hey, take it easy, man. I'll talk to you soon. So,
all right, buddy.
See you.
Bye.
Anyway, make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it. That helps us out. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe and see you next week.